You are listening to Destiny Pizzas.
This is week 107 of Destiny Pizzas. This is the end of that week. It's Friday. Yeah. I was listening to like last week's episode where I was like, Friday, fried eggs, and then just went into the podcast. Because like when me and our friend Anna, when we text, if I don't know what to say, I'll just use whatever she typed. I'll just, or like the last word she typed, make I'll just word or like get a word that sounds similar to that and then just reply. And then we'll just do that back and forth.
Oh, that's good.
So that's what happened. That's what happened last week. Because it was like Friday, fried eggs. And then we just went into it. But then with like putting the episode together, I was listening to it. I was like, I just sound like a weirdo. Like, where did that come from? I sound like my brain had a stutter or something.
This is hilarious, though.
Yeah.
Well, now you got a backstory. So hopefully those people who listen to Friday's episode listen to this Friday's episode and are like, oh, that explains everything.
Yeah. Like if I'll do it this whole, for this week, I'll do it every episode or everything we talk about. I'll do the thing that I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So we viewed, reviewed. I'm not going to do it for that. Movies. I'm not going to do it for that.
All right.
So. Or moo V, like cow like mooing cow. And then the letter V.
All right. I saw a ride along.
Also saw Rye DeLong, like Tom DeLong. His brother.
Yeah, so this is with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. And it's pretty much Ice Cube is a cop.
I think I saw the first like 15 minutes of this movie.
Yeah. It's on HBO, so. Yeah, Ice Cube's he's pretty much the cop from 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Ice Cube, I'm a cop.
He's like, I'm like the best cop.
I'm the best cop, angry cop. I have no partner. I'm off the
books. Even need a partner. That's how good I am.
Yeah. And then it's Kevin Hart, he's trying to be.
He's like a nerd.
He's like a nerd. He plays video games, and then he's trying to become a cop.
He plays like Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Call of Duty is like a nerdy game still? Because I think people who play Call of Duty are specifically not nerds.
I think it depends on what person you're talking. Like who's a nerd to who? It's kind of a thing where some people are on that level. They're like any video game person's a nerd.
Like, I consider people who play Madden, I don't consider them nerds.
Because
I don't think, if you're a nerd, I don't think you're interested in Madden.
Yeah.
I'm, like, generalizing.
I think it's kind of specific to, because some people would say anybody who plays a video game is a nerd, but.
I think those people are old-fashioned. I think that's, like, our parents or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know what I mean, though? Like, because it's, like, not a nerdy game. Like, if you're playing a StarCraft.
Yeah. But, I mean, they show his, like, friends. He's playing all the time. And he's
oh, okay.
Like, it's a thing where he's playing so much that he's, like, such a high level. That I think even people who casually like anytime, play it
yeah.
would say, that oh, that's nerdy to play, like, 50 hours to be, like, the highest level there is in the game. And he's playing with, like, the same people. And all the other guys they show are, like, straight-up nerds that you can...
Like, so that. He's, like, the cool nerd.
It seems like he's, like, the cool nerd.
That's what I like to think of myself as.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever heard... Even heard this podcast is like, that's not true at all. You are the nerdiest of your friends, and that's why your friends barely come on the podcast.
So, yeah, in the movie, it's pretty much like they had to have written these parts for Kevin Hart and Ice Cube because it's pretty much them doing their thing.
Is it a lot of like short humor?
A little bit.
Like, I can't reach your holster.
Not a ton. Just
Ice Cube, can you open the door for me? I can't reach the handle.
I feel like a little because they always throw Kevin Hart. Short humor.
Did he literally throw Kevin Hart in this movie?
No, does he gets thrown around the room a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it was interesting. It's fine. It's funny. It's pretty good.
What would you rate this?
Probably like a 5. It wasn't too bad, but it's what you expect out of that movie. It's like, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's an It's It. Have you ever had one of those? It's It?
No.
Is that what it's called? Not talking about the ice cream sandwiches. Like, you when you go to the grocery store and you go to the ice cream section, there's like a box of ice cream sandwiches that looks really old fashioned.
Yeah.
I think it's called an It's It.
I don't know.
It.
I do not know.
I always wanted to get one, but I was like, I can't justify buying like 20 of these things. What happens if
They're
going to
look
like
at
it?
Me funny. They're going to be like, what?
No, like it comes in a box of 20. What happens if I don't
all
like
of
it?
All of them are all 20?
He has like 20 of them. It's an ice cream sandwich.
You can't buy them like six, pack of six or something.
Maybe it's a pack of six. But ones, I don't know. I just want one.
That's true. You got to go in with a group and be like, let's pitch in and get some. That would never happen, though. That's like
no, yeah, because then if you go in a group, they're like, why would we try something that we don't, we've never had?
Yeah, it's a risk. Don't want to take it.
Let us know if you've had an itch. Let me find out what this is called. And then if you've had it.
Yeah, we should kind of get it from other people. If other people know about it, then we don't.
It isn't. It's it.
Then you don't. Oh, there you go.
It is it. It. Apostrophe it's, S. It's. It. Oh, wait. Yeah. It's made in Burlingame, California. What?
It's local-ish.
Oh, no. It's not near San Francisco. It's near the Hyatt Regency, San Francisco. That's where the factory is. Maybe it's just a California thing. I bet you if I showed you the logo of it.
Yeah.
There's a picture. I didn't want to see what it looks like this.
Okay.
Very old-fashioned. But then this is what it looks like. I don't think I want to eat it anymore. Well, it doesn't look that good. Maybe.
It's like a Klondike bar.
Huh. Yeah, but with two cookies. That actually doesn't sound pretty bad. Yeah. That sounds pretty good. They have vanilla. They have mint. They serve them at Google. That looks pretty good, actually.
Oh, yeah, it looks, it opened up. You can see it better.
So it looks like closed. Doesn't look too bad. I might get this. Yeah, so it's like an ice cream sandwich dipped in chocolate. And they have a pumpkin flavor during the holidays. They have cappuccino. They have all these flavors. Wow. Anyways, we're not... Oh, we should contact them. Maybe they want to sponsor the podcast.
It's it.
And we'll call it Destiny It's It for a week.
For a week.
That's like five episodes. That's a lot, actually. Unless it's this week, which is four episodes.
Yeah.
Jeez. How rude, hard drives. Let's talk about some TV, which is, again, T... Like the drink, letter V. So T5 is my connection.
TV Superman.
Yeah, TV Superman. It's just him staring at a cup of tea. Like,
I can beat you.
I can beat you.
You won't make me bleed.
Or he's like, how long do I have to let this steep? That is the question. Do I want bitter tea?
Dude, I saw this meme. It was like, it's like, it's the Batman Superman thing. He's like, do you bleed? And he's like, and then Superman's like, your parents did.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw another one where it's called Batman the Ride.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's like a kid going on a roller coaster with his parents, and then they get shot. Yeah. And he's just in the middle crying.
It's like, oh, man, that one's real deep.
I was like, that's horrible. I've said some horrible things in my day, but none of them that bad.
A little much.
I saw the Jinx. In this case, it's Jinx, like J-Y-N-X, like the Pokemon. But this, in real life,
is it about Jinx. The Pokemon?
No. I wish. It'd probably be...
That'd be an interesting
It'd
thing.
Be interesting. Not as interesting as this, honestly. No. I think its full title is The Jinx, The Life and Times of Robert Durst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this millionaire heir, Robert Durst, who his family... is like one of the wealthiest real estate owners in Manhattan. They own like all these buildings in Manhattan. And he, in 1981, his wife disappeared.
Wait, is this the one where they said they caught him on tape or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard the story about this, but I didn't actually know it was based on this show. Okay.
It happened in the last episode.
Okay.
The way I found out about it is on HBO Go, or on HBO Now for sure, but I don't know if it's on HBO Go. Mm-hmm. They have these things where it's like, celebrity playlists. So one week it was Amelia Clark, another week it was Jamie Lannister, Nicolas, he has a weird name.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week it was Kumail Nanjiani.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's see what he watches. And he talked about this, and he's like, it's so interesting. Well, let me try to do his voice.
That's close.
I can't do it. That was pretty close. Yeah.
That was close.
It was close enough without being offensive.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have like a thick.
He doesn't have a thick
that you can really.
Yeah.
Duplicate that well anyway.
Tolst? Nah, I can't do it.
I thought that one was better. It was just subtle
enough.
Yeah,
it was like subtle enough where if you heard it, you're like, come on.
I feel like if you kept going, it wouldn't work out as well, but the fact that it was such a short statement.
Yeah. So he talked about it, and he's like, you can't be my friend without seeing this. And I was like, I want to be your friend. So I decided to watch all six episodes that night.
Are we friends now? Are we friends yet?
Yeah, I tweeted at him, consider us friends. Just saw the Jinx. consider us friends. And I saw 4 episodes, and I wanted to finish the last. They're 1-hour-long episodes, 6-hour-long episodes, and then that's it. So it's the first episode is about this murder that took place in Texas, in Galveston, Texas, in 2001, where a body washed up on shore, and these black bags washed up on shore. And each of them contained a different limb. And then a torso washed up on shore. And then they couldn't find the head. And then it goes into the story of how this guy was renting an apartment to a mute, flat-chested woman. And then, like, it turns out that it's this guy cross-dressing to be in cover. And he gets caught stealing a chicken sandwich at a grocery store. And he has, like, all this money. He gets arrested, and he's like, how much is bail? And he's like, $150,000. He's like, what should I do? He's like, well, the cop is like, I recommend you pay bail. Mm-hmm. Do you have $150,000? And he's like, not on me. He's like, that's a really weird thing to say, because it's all in Texas. Yeah. And then he calls his wife. He's like, hey, I was arrested in Texas. Can you pay my bail? And they paid his bail. And then they talk to the New York Times reporter, and he's like, this story was really strange to me because it said Bob Durst. And I was like, is that our Robert Durst? And then you find out his wife disappeared in New York in the 80s. And then there's a murder that happens in LA. And it's like all these things he's connected to. And then it's just like, this guy must have the best luck in the world. And they interview him because this guy made a movie called Another Kind of Love, I think. Or A Kind of Love or something like that with Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst, I want to say. And it's his story, his first marriage, where his wife disappeared. And Ryan Gosling plays Robert Durst, and his wife is played by Kirsten Dunst, and then she disappears. True story. And then he's like, I want to do an interview with you. I never got to do an interview. Now is my chance to talk. And then that's the kind of the premise for the 6 episodes. So they talk about things that happened. They talk to his lawyers. They talk to friends of the victims and stuff. And then they talked to Robert Durst himself. So it was really interesting, especially because Serial, I knew when it came out, people were saying like, oh, it's like Serial, the podcast, but there's an ending to it. You have that bit of closure more than you have on Serial.
Yeah.
Where you really, still now you can debate Serial.
Yeah. I was
hanging out with a friend. We were talking about Serial still, and it drives me goddamn crazy because I feel like there is no closure.
Mm-hmm.
At least with the Jinx, there was closure. And then I watched it, and I knew my mom was really into Serial when that came out. So I told her, I was like, hey, you should watch the show. So I ended up watching it again with her, and she was really into it. And it's so strange because this guy's like 80-something. And you're like, there's no way this guy, like a small 80-year-old man, like an exercised 80-year-old, murdering people. And he, like, dresses really strange. He dresses just like my grandfather. It's like my grandfather murdering someone. I guess my grandfather and Nuxer are, like, the same size. So, it's like that. It's, like, so strange. And then you hear about Robert Durst's childhood, and they have, like, reenactments and stuff. Really interesting. I recommend it so much. I loved it so much. I'd probably watch it again. I'd probably watch it again before I started watching Walking Dead again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so good. And it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah. It's a lot shorter.
Yeah. And it's like weird. He has like these strange mannerisms where he blinks really strange because he blinks. Like,
but he like signed on to do all this?
Yeah. That's weird. But then the last episode is like them trying to get him to do more interviews much later than like, I guess, the original interviews.
Yeah.
And you see how hard it was to get him back. Mm-hmm. And then he gets into some trouble and they're like, we'll give you some, we'll do you a favor if you do us a favor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I really recommend it just for the information alone. I found it so interesting. And then I Googled the guy. Turns out he's connected to 3 more disappearances and murders. And the craziest thing is with his wife's disappearance, they never found a body. They never found out. There's no scene of the crime or anything. Like, she just straight up disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That's crazy.
So, like, they talk to her mom. They talk to her brother. They talk to her friends, and like then my mom was watching, she's like, I remember this story on Dateline. Like, she saw that story, but she never saw any of the other, like, the other two stories that they focus on. Really interesting stuff. And they have, like, news videos and stuff. Like, they talk about it on The View when Kirsten Dunst was on The View to promote that movie that she was in. Barbara Walters talks about hearing about the case in the 80s and stuff like that. It's really interesting. It's kind of like if Serial was video.
Yeah.
And you had the video,
it's a video
backup
version of it, yeah.
Which was nice. I loved it, though. I think, I mean, if you have 6 hours to kill, to do it, I recommend it so much. It is kind of heavy information, though, because it's like, it's not like, you can't just like watch it and zone out.
Yeah. You gotta,
kind of pay attention.
Yeah.
Because there are subtle things and you're like, whoa, like that's why it happened. It actually kind of makes you feel bad for the guy until the end, and you're like, fuck the guy, kill him. Spoiler alert, I guess. But I still think it's worth the journey.
Cool.
Now let's talk about Game of Thrones. We got to see two episodes of Game of Thrones. That's why we recorded it on Monday. No, it's not why. But
it's all right. It just happened that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're 2 weeks. It's the last Sundays and the Sunday
I think
before.
It's called Unbent, Unbroken, and something else was the first episode title. And then the second episode title was something else. I can just pull it up, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know the episode titles.
I think it's Unbent, Unbroken, and Unbowed or something like that. Oh, episode 7 was The Gift. And the episode before that was called... Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. That was close.
Yeah.
I just had it in the wrong order. So let's talk about the first episode first. Or the, I think it was the sixth episode. So close. They got infamous episode 10.
Yeah. Almost. Season's almost coming to an end. It seems so quick.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go land by land. We didn't see Daenerys this episode, I believe.
I don't think so. Saw,
Jaime.
Dorne.
Let's go to Dorne first.
Yeah, so they come up on... They come up on, what's her name? They're trying to rescue...
The Lannister.
Lannister.
Or Baratheon.
Lannister girl. No, Lannister girl. Baratheon. Oh, yeah, Baratheon, technically, I guess. But, yeah, they're trying to rescue her, and that's where the fight happens.
With the Sand Snakes and Jaime and the other dude.
So, that fight scene was kind of lame.
Yeah, because it's so short.
Yeah. So it just happens so abruptly, and then everyone gets caught by the
and arrested.
Yeah, and arrested by the rulers, because the rulers don't want to execute Baratheon.
Yeah, who's like really in love with the
The prince, the Dornish prince.
Yeah, his last name is Martell, right? Oberyn Martell.
I'm not sure. That sounds right.
And then you want to go to King's Landing?
King's Landing.
The grandmother from Tyrell.
Yeah, she comes and she like
release my grandson.
Yeah. So they have this trial, basically, and then they bring a.
It's Cersei, Tommen.
Tommen, right? Yeah.
Marjorie,
mm-hmm.
her brother, and her grandmother.
Yeah, and what's his face?
The High Scepter.
Yeah, the High Scepter. And then they bring in the
dude he was with like a few episodes ago.
Yeah, and then he basically rats him out.
And rats Marjorie.
Out her, so they both get arrested.
Yeah.
And thrown in jail.
Because she pretty much gets arrested for perjury.
Yeah. And then Tommen's like an idiot. He's like sitting there like,
he's like,
well, what do I do? I
don't know. Mom.
He's like, I'm the king, but why can't I do anything?
Yeah.
He's like, you're so stupid.
And,
You almost hate his inaction more than, like, Joffrey.
Yeah.
At least he did what he wanted.
And, Peter Baelish comes and meets with Cersei and says, let me try to channel that voice again. Oh, my God. I get really nervous doing this voice. I tried to do it at work the other day when I was talking to one of my coworkers, and it failed so badly, so I get really anxious. We team up against the Baratheons, and then you make me the high... What is it called? The North, or the Warden of the North.
Warden of the North, yeah.
I'm Peter Baelish. Warden of the North.
Let our enemies kill each other.
Yeah, let our enemies kill each other. And we just swoop in and take the land. And so we're like, wow, this guy like sold Sansa Stark down the river. Bag. And he's just trying, he's just looking out for himself.
Yeah. But no one should trust him at this point.
Anyway. Yeah. So that all happens. What else happens?
And then Sansa Stark, Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yeah.
Or, Tyrion.
Yeah, they get captured by slavers.
Yeah, they like catch it because they were fighting the stone men or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they're like, oh, no one's around here, and people find them right away.
And then they're like, there's no slavery allowed in Westeros, and he's like, we're not going to Westeros or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's like, they reopened the fighting pits.
He's like, take me there. Yeah. And it's like, we'll go to the slave markets, and then they get sold as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sansa marries Ramsay.
Yeah.
Which was disappointing to me because she's like stuttering. And I was like, she'll say no, or she'll just stab him in the throat, sacrificing herself.
Yeah, you always want some good to happen and nothing good happens.
And then she ends up getting raped, and which is what, in my opinion, the most horrifying thing I've seen all season or all series long.
Oh, definitely. It was pretty bad.
And then he makes Theon watch.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. And that's how they end the episode,
That's how they end the episode,
Very disturbing way to end.
Because, like, he locks the door, and I was like, yes, Theon's going to murder him.
Yeah. You always have hope, but you realize Theon's...
Or, what's her name, is going to kick... Brienne's going to kick down the door and save her.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
That happens.
And that's how the episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's everything, right?
Did we do Jon Snow anything?
Oh, Jon Snow frees the wildling dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to make a pact for peace for your people.
They're going to go to the wildlings and try to have them fight with them.
Yeah.
And then Stannis is like, I like that Jon Snow. Pretty much. And then Stannis is marching south.
Yeah.
He leaves in that episode, right?
He's
like on his way.
And then...
Next episode?
The next episode, we go back
Jon
to...
Jon Snow again, he's...
Yeah, Jon Snow is...
He's leaving with the wildlings, basically.
And then they tell Samwell.
Mm-hmm.
We see... What's his name? Targaryen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He dies.
Mm-hmm.
He has all these weird... That was really weird for me to watch. With the baby. Egg. And it was reminding me of Box Trolls.
Is that the Mad King?
He's talking about the Mad King. Yeah. And that's why he said, go his get this brother. Flower before it's too late.
Yeah.
Because he's like... Like, don't let this child go mad like my brother did.
Yeah.
And he's, like, having all these flashbacks.
That was sad. I was like, that guy was always so good.
Yeah, and he was so good to Samwell.
Yeah.
So then he dies, and
they're like,
someone's like, Samwell, tell Samwell, like, oh, you're losing your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends are leaving you.
Yeah.
And then the girl is about to get raped, and then he defends her.
And the most awesome moment.
Yeah. Ghost comes.
Ghost comes up. And I'm like, yes, I haven't seen a direwolf all season.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a scene with the direwolf. He's eating bones as Jon Snow.
Oh, okay. We haven't seen like direwolf on the attack.
Yeah.
This season, then.
And then Samwell gets some action.
Yeah. Finally, he's only been like, he saved her from a White Walker. He did so much stuff. And it's like, okay, finally.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
Jeez. But, I mean, I respect her choices. Because you have to do that kind of stuff nowadays.
Yeah. that's one way. And then, what else is going on? Let's see. I guess we'll go back to Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
They're being sold as slaves. So they sell the one dude first because he's, like, a warrior and stuff. They're like, oh, he'll be getting the fighting pits.
And then Tyrion's like, it's a package deal.
Yeah.
And he beats the crap out of a slave. Like, he literally kills a guy.
He's on the chain. He's just, like, whipping him with the chain. And he's like, oh, if he can beat that dude,
yes,
I'll bring him with us.
And then Daenerys is like, I have to marry, like, an ancient...
Oh, yeah, we missed that part. Wait, or that happened to a few episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. She had to marry that dude.
The Drake-looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then... But she's in love with, like, the suave-looking guy.
Yeah.
how do you follow up like a cat, like the Cal?
You don't.
You're like, oh, she used to be in love with like a Cal, and he was a, like the, one of the best warriors, and he just died a horrible death. And now I have to replace him.
Yep, basically that's what happened.
So they go to the fighting pits, and then the dude comes, or he like runs out, and he like beats the dude, and Tyrion tries to get out, and then he kills all the people like in a non-violent way, like no, like a non-gory way.
Yeah, he's just like straight up for the kill. The
kill like he shot. Just like punches them in the face, and they break their necks and stuff.
Yeah,
because he knows how uncomfortable Daenerys is when she sees all that stuff. And then he takes off her helmet and he's like, it's for you.
Then she's like, get him out of here.
I don't get him out of my sight. And he's like, wait, I brought you a gift. And then Tyrion, then this big dude comes when Tyrion's trying to like file away his chain and like smashes the chain.
That was awesome too. And they just have a look with each other.
He's like scared. And then he's like, go.
He's like, I got your back. Go get out there.
And then he's like, oh, I'm Tyrion Lannister. Or she's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm your gift.
Yeah.
I'm Tyrion Lannister.
It's like, oh, so awesome. You just see, like, two great characters.
Yeah, like, finally meet.
Yeah.
And then they cut away from that.
Yeah, then they're like, no, you're out of here.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Sansa. Yeah, so the episode opened up on Sansa, like, in the corner of her bed, all bruised up and, like, clearly, like, raped.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm stuck. She's locked in that room.
Yeah, too. She's like, he goes out during the day and comes back at night and then has his way with me. So, like, it means that she's constantly getting raped.
Yeah.
And, like, help me, Theon, help me. He's like, I'm not Theon, I'm Rake. And she's like, no, you are Theon Greyjoy, the last remaining son of the Iron... What is it?
Ironborn.
She's like, go here, take this candle, light it in the highest window. And then you see Theon, like, walk out, and he walks towards a tower, and then it cuts to him walking upstairs. And then it's... He opens the door, and who is it? Ramsay Bolton. And then we're like, whoa, that's strange. Oh, and then also Sansa's like, we have friends in the north and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Sansa, you see her later on, and she's all dressed up, and she's walking around, and it's snowing, and they go to Ramsay, or she like meets Ramsay, and she grabs like a, it looks like a crucifix or something.
Yeah. I thought she's gonna like stab him in the face.
Yeah. And he's like, he like kisses her, and she looks really uncomfortable. And they're talking, and he's like, oh, like, I'm the first son, and I was given my name by religious order, and she's like, but you're a bastard.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't do something right there, like, punch her in the face.
And then, like, she's like, and a trueborn always has preference over a bastard, and he's like, but I was by religious order, and she's like, by who? Tommen? He's also a bastard. You see him getting kind of angry, and then he leads her to a body, and it's the old woman who's like, you have friends in the north, we still remember. And she was flayed, and he talks about how she didn't give anything up, and then he gives her a candle, and he's like, the nights are long, you need the candle. And you see Theon in the corner, and he's totally sold her out. And...
Yeah, and then Gwendolyn Christie's like, they cut to her...
Like, staring at the window.
Staring at the window, waiting for the light, because she's trying to rush in there. Yeah. She's just waiting there. That's just for like a second.
But that was earlier. That was when Theon... Went up for the one when like during that whole scene.
That was cut to that first.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it's did Theon sell her out or not?
Yeah,
type of thing.
And then what else happened?
And then it's the whole ending with Cersei.
Yeah. Where, Cersei goes to Margaery.
Oh, first she talks to Tommen. She's like, I will do everything I can to get your like. It's not my doing. It's the stupid religious.
Yeah. Oh no, the first the grandma goes and talks to the High Scepter.
Well, first she talks to Cersei.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know this is your doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know you're not writing something right now, so stop. Yeah. Or that might have been the episode before, I'm not sure. I think that was the episode before, actually. Yeah, but so then she meets with the
High Scepter, and he's like, he pretty much gives her the speech like, oh, we're the 99%, you're the 1%, it's time for the 99% to rise. It's pretty much like, Occupy Westeros. Hashtag Occupy Westeros. Yeah.
And he's, like, the first character to not have ulterior motives.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just a religious nut.
Yeah. And she's like, what if we stop giving our food? And he's like, well, when's the last time you sowed, like, the land or anyone in your family?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's pretty much he's like, I'm not afraid of you. Which I don't think she takes very well.
No.
And then you see Cersei go into the cell with Margaery. And she's like... these conditions are horrible. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, she's doing all her fake speak of like, "One, I'm trying to get you out of here." She's like, "I know you're not trying to do that."
And then she right as she gets out of there, she sees a high scepter and she's like, "Oh, her conditions are perfect. Good job."
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And then he just goes on this whole speech where he's like, "Yeah, people are getting what they deserve. Like, no one's special. Like,
no one's above exempt. The law.
Yeah,
like Steven Seagal.
Yeah,
above the law.
Yeah." Then out of comes her cousin, comes out. He's like, he's told us everything or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they arrest her, Cersei, yeah. Of course, because I don't know how she did not see that coming.
Oh, and then, but Tommen says like, "Oh, I will start a war with them. I'm not afraid."
Yeah, but then why hasn't he done it already?
And then his mom's like, "You shouldn't be talking to him. It would look bad for a king to talk to an unwashed like lunatic."
Yeah.
"I'll go talk for you."
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite scenes in the show was, or in this episode at least, was the jail. We see the dude singing the Dornish song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the sand snakes and we get to see one of them naked.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Who's the most beautiful?" And then she's like, "I coated my razor in this poison, the long goodbye." Mm-hmm. "And it takes a long time hurt you." He starts dying, and she's like, "The only antidote is in here. Who's the most beautiful woman?" Because he says that the Dornish women are not the most beautiful.
Yeah.
And I don't think she liked that very much.
Yeah.
And I'm not to be fair, she was the most beautiful out of her three sisters.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's like, "Here's the antidote." She's like, "I find you quite handsome yourself."
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then they... Oh, and they showed Jamie was talking to
his niece.
Yeah, and she's like,
I was like, what kind of jail cell is this? I was like, it's very nice. There's a table.
Yeah, he wasn't
there.
Really in a jail cell, it seemed like. But yeah, and then she's like, "You don't even know me." She's like, "I want to stay here."
She's like, "You should have said I'm your father."
Yeah.
"Look at your hair. It's not brown."
Yeah, it's obvious.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's it. Game of Thrones. So. I don't know, is Tommen going to finally do something as king? Or he's like, "I still don't know what to do."
You think he's going to free Margaery and not free Cersei? That'd be awesome. I think Cersei, this is the scene that we talked about a long time ago where Cersei is supposed to walk through naked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the church in Croatian church wouldn't let her.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's filmed in Croatia.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh, and then Peter Baelish met with the grandma, Tyrell.
Tyrell, yeah.
And he's like, he makes the same deal that he made Cersei, but he tells her, like, "Oh, I made this deal with Cersei."
Yeah.
Next up, Silicon Valley. So the first episode was not this most current one. The one before that was the streaming one. Let's find out the name of that episode, might as well.
The one where they're trying to get the energy drink company use their, because the first Nucleus, they have a
UFC fight.
UFC fight, and try to use their software, Nucleus, to stream 4K over the internet.
And it buffers.
So they're like...
And there's like frame rate issues and everything.
Yeah, so they're real psyched about that. So they're like, "Oh, let's capitalize on their bad PR and get some good PR by streaming something of our own and proving that
we're better." Homicide is what the episode is called.
Yeah, Homicide was the energy drink company. So... Ehrlich Bachman is...
He's like, "Oh...
He's friends with the...
I'm friends with one of the guys who found this energy drink."
Yeah.
They're going to do the stunt.
Yeah, it's like basically the Red Bull jumps.
Yeah, it's
stunts.
Like the Red Bull equivalent. So he's going to jump a building... Or jump a truck from one building to another.
Mm-hmm.
And they go meet with them. And then the guy from the drink is like, "Oh, you know what? We didn't really like Ehrlich. We called him Kool-Aid because he always burst into the room like the Kool-Aid man. But he had alcohol and drugs, so we used to hang out with him."
Mm-hmm.
And then... The other plot line was Dinesh and Guilfoyle competing. Like Dinesh was like really attracted to this girl, and then turns out she was the stuntman's girlfriend.
Yeah,
and they talk about SWOT analysis, which is funny because like every semester I have to do SWOT analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I get into this. This is my expertise.
Yeah, it was the whole thing where his math was wrong on the board for the jump, and they see, "Oh, his math is wrong."
And they try to correct him, but he's being a douchebag to him.
Yeah, so they're debating whether to
tell him or not. Yeah. So they make a SWOT analysis of why they should do it or not. Or of...
Yeah, if they should tell him or not.
Of not telling him is the SWOT analysis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because one of the opportunities was having sex with her,
yeah.
her
yeah.
on his grave or something like that. So then yeah. they just, the whole episode, they just do that. They make a giant SWOT analysis of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ehrlich keeps, like, then they go back to the main storyline. Ehrlich keeps, like, interrupting the questions. And they're like, hey, come back to this meeting tomorrow. Don't bring Ehrlich. We'll just talk about it. And then, because they called him A, what? Right?
Double A.
Double A.
Yeah. Because his name is...
Like Aaron Andrews or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Or Aaron something.
Something like that. It's two A's.
Yeah. And then that night he tells Ehrlich, he's like, hey, like, you can't come to the meeting tomorrow because they call you Kool-Aid because you barge in. I'm like the Kool-Aid man. And he shows him the Kool-Aid commercial on YouTube. And then he's like, you know what? You have to be careful with him. We used to call him Double A for Double Asshole. So then he goes back to the meeting. He realizes he's being screwed out.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to put their logo on this
on the site.
On the stream, yeah.
So he's like, you know what? You're a double asshole. And it turns out that he had, like, a colonoscopy bag? Colonoscopy bag? Sure.
I think it's just colostomy.
Colostomy bag?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So he has two assholes.
Yeah.
And it's then, like, we never called him double
yeah,
assholes.
Yeah, cut back to Ehrlich. And he's like, you actually called that to his face?
Yeah, we never called him that. Oh, and then...
He tore him a third asshole.
Back to the other plot line. The guy apologized. He's like, sorry, I was really stressed out.
Yeah,
I'm like, sorry I was rude to you. And he, like, the whole time you see the giant SWOT analysis
yeah,
behind
and,
him.
Yeah, and then he says, oh, I actually, like... I actually saw that I had a math error, and I would have died if I didn't check that. So, sorry, you guys.
And then he sees it, and he goes crazy, and that's when he tells Richard, like, we need to leave, like, let's run.
Yeah.
And then we don't really see Russ, right, this episode?
No, I don't think so. I think it just cuts to the end, and they see the stream of the...
The episode, they're like, they do the Condor stream instead. They do the Condor hatching stream.
He's like, Oh, yeah. That's, they wanted to stream something else, so there's like, they have like 5 or 7 views.
Yeah.
On a Condor streaming,
and one of them's Russ Hanneman.
Yeah, and they can't even tell like if anything's moving because
because it's like
the egg is not hatching yet.
Yeah. And it was what's his name idea. What's his name? Jared,
yeah.
So, then they go to the other... he's like, that's an awesome stream. And they think he's talking about the Condor stream. And then it turns out to be the Homicide stream and is brought to you by Endframe.
Yeah, and he's like, I like that you guys changed the name.
I was totally over Pied Piper.
Yeah.
And then the Endframe, if you remember, was a few episodes ago when they're trying to get the money and they accidentally divulged all their secrets to that company. That was Endframe.
Yeah.
So that's where the episode ends. And then the next episode starts with them going to Endframe saying, hey, I need to talk to them. And like Richard keeps being called Ehrlich because they're like, oh, he looks more like a CEO than you do. And he's like, well, I'm going to sue them. And then Russ Hanneman's like, oh, how about you guys like meet me for a drink, Richard? Or first we find out he lost a lot of money, so he's like $987 million.
He's not a billionaire.
He's not out of the three comma club.
He has a 3-comma picture. He hits one of the commas out. Like, like punches it or whatever.
He leaves dog poop on the account, on the floor.
Yeah, he's just like crying.
And he's like, "You're my way to get back into the 3-comma club."
Mm-hmm.
So that happens, and then. Oh, wait, we forgot to say that in Nucleus XYZ, or Huli XYZ, the other guy is gone.
Yeah.
And it's all Big Head now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I need you guys to work on, going back to the new episode, he's like, I need you guys to work on something that will, like, or the investors, he has a board of investors meeting, and they're like, we can't, after that whole mistake, like, we can't back you anymore, saying, like, we can't keep our investors there. And he's like, oh, but what happens if we have a secret feature that's so fundamental, it'll change how everything, like how data is inputted from now on. And he goes to them, Big Head, and Big Head's like, okay, we'll work on it after lunch.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he's like, oh, we use these piezo electronics to like read brain waves and you can control your phone with your brain. And he's like, oh, cool. How soon can we get it done? And he's like, oh, really soon. Like in our lifetime, like our grandchildren will only be using this.
Yeah.
And he goes crazy. And he's like, what? Do you have any other ideas? And he's like, we kind of put all our eggs in this basket.
And then he's like, we also have an awesome potato gun.
Yeah. But that one's broken.
Yeah. We actually put a real Mr. Potato Head
in there, and it kind of broke. And
so basically, they don't want to.
Russ Hanneman wants them to merge. He wants Piper to merge, but it's not really a merger. It's kind of like an absorption. Acquisition.
Yeah. So and then they don't want to do that. So, but then he goes to his lawyer,
and his lawyer's like.
Because Russ Hanneman's going to back out of this deal.
Yeah, back out of funding because there's no contract.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a door that opens up. They open out like normal.
So Richard goes to his lawyer and he wants to sue both Endframe and Russ Hanneman. But he's like, you're already being sued. You don't want to...
Yeah, you can't have another lawsuit. Yeah. And then he's like, the retainer only covers like keeping him. You still need to pay the lawyers.
Yeah. And he's like, you need his money basically to survive.
And then
they're like, well, how can we get other money? And then
they find out about
Guilfoyle,
this porn deal.
Yeah, hacks into Endframe.
Not really hacking.
Well, he got their password.
The username and password. Yeah. And he gets the deal because he finds out
the porn.
They find out Endframe has like a sales team and they have this porn deal. And then.
Yeah, and then they find out the details of the deal and they say, we can do better than that.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
20 megabytes for streaming for 4K is like, I can almost do that. Mm-hmm. They promise 7 megabytes per second for 4K.
Yeah.
Which is like really impressive. Like in real life, that'd be very impressive. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we can do it. And then he goes to meet with the porn company leader and she's like, how did you find out about it? He's like, well, don't want to divulge my secrets. He's like, well, I'm on a lot of boards with what's his name?
With the Hooli CEO, but what's his name? Gavin Belson?
Yeah, Gavin Belson.
Yeah.
And I can't back you. And he's like, we can save you millions of dollars in your server costs if you implement ours from 20 to 7 megabytes per second, 4K streaming, which again, super impressive. And she's like, okay, meet me at my office on this day. Then you see her meeting with Endframe at the office and it ends. She's like, we're going to have a bake-off because all the Pied Piper guys are in there. And he's like, oh, it's similar to... Or it's just like the meeting that they had with Russ Hanneman when he's like, oh, come have a drink with me. And then he's like, you guys are going to merge.
Yeah.
They're going to buy me my steak and I'm going to be back in the 3 Comma Club. So it's like a $15 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
And with that money, they can pay for lawyers. They can buy Russ Hanneman out of his contract and everything. So,
yeah,
buy him out of his share.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So whoever wins the competition will get the deal.
But then we miss the storyline, the Guilfoyle Danesh storyline, which happens back in Endframe. He has the password to the Wi-Fi next door because he was looking for jobs when they were going to get bought by Hooli, right? They were supposed to get bought by Hooli, so Danesh started looking for a new job.
Yeah.
And that's why he had the password, and it was like outed by Wi-Fi. Later on, Danesh starts I think it was on Tinder or something, he matches with a girl. He starts he's like, oh, I'm an outdoors type of guy. I'm always on the go. So he but Guilfoyle points out how he's always lazy and he won't even walk across the house for his cell phone. Mm-hmm. Instead, he puts a signature saying sent from my iPhone and stuff like that. And then eventually he brings her back to her place. It turns out Ehrlich had something with her.
Yeah, previous relationship.
Yeah,
somehow.
And it's because she had Wi-Fi and she was outed by Wi-Fi. She's been there before.
Yeah.
So that was that storyline.
Yep.
And then Dinesh is again, left alone.
Yeah. It's happening, like, every week.
Yeah. Not really a fan of that Indian stereotype, but it seems like I can't get away from it. It's my life, man. Let's talk about The Flash. This was... Flash
season finale.
Heartbreaking season finale.
It was sad and awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
I thought, like, it wrapped everything up perfectly and still left cliffhangers. Because the basic point is he's trying to decide... He's talking to Harrison Wells or... He's trying to decide, like, he reveals his whole plan where he's trying to get him fast enough because he can't travel back in time anywhere. He can't go as fast, so he needs the Flash to do it for him. So he wants the Flash to go back and save his own mom, and then he will go back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So he's debating the whole, like, half the episode, oh, should I go back, should I save her?
But then I won't be the Flash, and then I won't have Iris as my sister, I won't have the dude as my dad.
Yeah, so he's talking to... Joe West, and he's saying, "Yeah, then I won't get to live with you, and you won't, like, I'll lose a father, I'll lose you," and then, but he's telling him, "You need to do this for yourself. You need, like, to save
you need
your mom.
You need a mom and dad."
Yeah, and then he goes to see his dad in prison, and is like, "I'm gonna go back and save mom," and he's like, "No, don't do that.
Like, look, I'm so proud of what the man you've become, like, and everything.
You could change. Like, you may not be the same person." So they're basically telling him the two opposite things.
Yeah.
So, and then he talks to Iris about it, and she says, you should go do it.
And then he later talks to Joe again, and he's like, do you promise that? He's like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't change my mind, but you should still do it.
Yeah. And then there's a scene with Eddie and Martin Stein, the half of Firestorm, who's like, he's telling Eddie, yeah, you're the only one who doesn't have a set path.
Yeah.
It's like everyone else has a destiny. You are really the wild card. You are really, like, the best out of all of us because... You, like, Harrison Wells told you don't matter, but that's the most important thing because no one knows what you're going to do or whatever. So then basically the Flash decides to go back in time. And I love the whole thing where they're like, yeah, there's going to be three of you there. And when you go back, you got to avoid your other self when you save your younger self. That way you can stop him right in time. So he goes back and then he's like in his own house. And...
He has to save his mom after the Flash moves younger him.
Yeah.
And then he has to go back because a black hole will be created.
Yeah, yeah. When the time, he only has a minute and 50 seconds because when he hits the particle, a black hole is created. And if he doesn't get back in time, it's going to envelop the whole world, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, he gets there and then he sees the fighting going on. He sees
the future Flash,
and he says no. Yeah,
don't.
Future Flash waves him off, and he's like, "Don't save her." Like, basically saying, like, he doesn't say anything, but he just waves him off and says, "Don't do it." He's been put, like, he understands time travel better, I guess. So he's waiting there. So he lets the Reverse Flash kill his mom again, and then the Reverse Flash goes away, and he just, like, sits with his mom while he's dying, while she's dying, and it's just,
and
like,
tells her, like, I'm the Flash, like, all this time. It was so heartbreaking. It was, like,
oh my gosh.
I just started crying.
That was,
like,
way
crazy.
Intense. I was like, oh my gosh.
Really sad.
Yeah.
And then, let's just jump back into present time.
Yeah.
He comes back.
So, like, Harrison Wells is getting
in, like,
the
time machine thing.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm, like, they shouldn't have let him leave. They could have just kept him trapped there and welched on their deal, but... They're the good guys, so they don't do that.
Or just kept him in his, like, containment cell for a little bit longer until he comes back and everything.
Yeah, so they're letting him go into the future.
Because I don't think that wasn't, like, time-sensitive, right? Harrison Wells? His time travel? I don't think it was time-sensitive.
I don't think so. I think he could have just gone whenever. But, yeah, so he's going off in the time machine.
And then Wally West's Flash hat?
Oh, no, it's the Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
The first Flash... His helmet with the wings on it, which was so cool.
Yeah,
that happened. It just popped out of the
and he's like,
wormhole.
What was that? And he's like, that's my sign to leave.
Yeah,
and Barry Allen comes back, and he's like,
and then he just, like, busts through,
punches him in the face.
Yeah, and then he's like, you could have saved your mom. Like, what are you doing? And then they're fighting for a little while.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. They're fighting for a while, and then. The big thing is Eddie comes out of nowhere and is like...
Gunshot.
Yeah, gunshot. You hear it. And he's talking.
And Iris is like, oh, no!
Yeah. He's like
another Aziz moment.
He's like, I'm a hero. Like he's I can be a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Harrison Wells starts vanishing away, and then it goes, he turns back into what he regularly looks like, the other actor,
mm-hmm.
whatever, with the blonde hair. Because he's, I don't know if you saw that episode.
No, I don't know.
But he's like, because Harrison Wells is a dude, and then the Reverse Flash is a different dude, and then he encountered Harrison Wells, and then, like, killed him, basically, in a car crash, and then he took over his, what he, like, his features. He took over his features, so... So when he turned back to normal, like they showed the other actor of what he actually looks like.
Okay.
And then he started like dissolving because he doesn't exist.
Kind of like Marty McFly, Back to the Future poster or picture.
Yeah, because his ancestor died, so he's not going to exist in the future. Yeah, so then the whole wormhole basically is enveloping the city.
Yeah.
It's like taking buildings down and stuff. And
then Barry's like, I can save it.
Yeah, he's basically like, but it's like the tornado, but do the opposite.
Yeah, whatever. But he's like, I can't, like, you might not be able to save it. And he's like, I have to try.
Yeah. So he's just running through it, and then it just leaves us off like that.
Yeah.
And then it's basically implying that he's going to do something, like maybe go into a different dimension or something.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to bring Harrison Wells back? They have to, right?
They have to, yeah. That's the thing. They can do alternate versions. They could do a thing where he finds the real Harrison Wells, and then he becomes a good guy with them somehow. I don't know. Like, they can really do whatever, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then they showed Hawkgirl for a second.
I didn't see that.
Like, they didn't even show her as Hawkgirl. They just showed actress. Like, she was looking up at the wormhole or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's, like, barely in it, but it was random. Because, like, the trailer, that was part of the trailer for Legends of Tomorrow. She was in there.
Oh,
so that was the same scene from that.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Like, it just showed how much better the show is than Arrow to me. Like, that season finale was so good.
Yeah. Like, that's what you want from that show. Like, they're doing everything in Flash that you want to do.
Yeah, and the fight sequences are so cool. Everything's so cool.
Everything's awesome. And they're not, like, they're not trapping themselves by saying, well, Arrow established this universe, so we have to stay on that path. They're like, no, let's do whatever we want, because that's just what we want to do. That's how you make a Flash show.
Basically. Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited for what they're doing.
And then Supergirl. Did you see it?
I saw it.
Luckily, we have a source inside Warner Brothers who gives us... That was a crazy thing, watching The Flash. I was like, wow, it was almost a year ago that we saw that pilot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
To see how far it's come in a year.
Yeah.
And then Supergirl, we got to see the pilot, and then the pilot leaked out.
Yeah.
We were not responsible.
No.
But what do you think of it?
I liked it.
Let's just keep it vague, just in case someone... Because I know some people don't want to watch it.
Yeah. I liked it. I think, like, I like the tone, like, just because it's, like, the exact opposite, like, of Man of Steel tone. It's, like,
yeah, it's playful.
It's positive. It's what Superman, Supergirl shows should be, mm-hmm. like, a positive outlook on things instead of, like, always the bleakness.
Yeah.
Like, the shows are, it's doing, like, the exact opposite of what the movies are doing.
I liked how many people were in the show, like, the bad guy mm-hmm. was one of the cops from The Mentalist.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, stuff like that. Dean Cain, we got to see. We got to see the original Supergirl, because those are her adoptive parents.
Mm-hmm. I did like the origin, like, the really early beginning. I liked that, the whole thing.
And whole she sequence. Went into the Phantom Zone and everything.
Yeah.
Which is, because we were wondering about that last week. We're like...
Well, like, how are they going to do the age thing?
Yeah.
Because she's technically older,
but she looks younger.
Yeah, when she gets there, and they
told us out.
What happened. You know? So and then Superman's like shows up, and like it's all vague on Superman for some reason. I don't know.
But it looked like Man of Steel, like the costume looked like Man of Steel and everything.
Yeah,
but and then like
totally seemed like the classic Superman though, of like everyone knows him as like the good guy and everything. It's not like
oh, he's a false idol.
Yeah, exactly.
False prophet.
More positivity.
Yeah. Like, people love him.
Yeah. And it basically tells you it's not in the Flash Arrow universe, because they're like, there's only one hero out there.
But it's very clear it's made by the same people, because the way they have the episode transitions and everything.
Definitely.
And we meet her sister, her adopted sister, mm-hmm. and then she uses her powers. That's all in the trailer, though.
Yeah, pretty much. There's not really anything too much you can spoil because the trailer is almost what this whole
pilot except for like the new villain and everything. We found out where the villains came from and everything, and then so that was all really cool. I really liked it though. I liked the relationship between her and her sister.
Yeah,
I liked the relationship between her and Jimmy Olsen. I liked the relationship between her and I forgot the guy's name, her friend.
Yeah, I forgot his name too.
I really liked that.
Yeah, me too.
The only thing I didn't like was Felicity Huffman, her boss.
Yeah,
I was like, she really looked weird. Since Ally McBeal, I think she got like plastic surgery or something.
She looks really weird.
She like screwed up her face, but that's her prerogative. And I really liked it. I'd be really happy to see it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm glad it got picked up.
Yeah, for a full season, right? Already?
Like, yeah, a full season. Yeah.
So yeah,
pretty cool.
That one also had made me feel really weird. I don't know what it is about something lately. Maybe I started taking my vitamins.
It was like they're like it's very emotional. The show is both that and with Max with the Flash.
Well, I saw this one first,
yeah,
and then I saw the Flash, and I was like, I think this one like
probably took it. You
did one punch, and then the other one knocked me out.
Yeah.
The one thing that's like very obvious though is in Supergirl, the fight sequences, like they have to do like camera tricks to do instead of showing things directly. They have a lot of camera tricks. But yeah, I thought some of the fight sequences.
Dug the fighting and the
at the end. I thought it was a really cool fight.
She's really that strong and like.
But she's like still unsure about her powers.
Yeah, she doesn't know what she's doing and stuff, which is cool. And like, I thought it was just done really well, like the costume,
and even the subplot of her sister being like, "Is she the reason I was hired?" and stuff like that. That was really cool.
Yeah, there's like it sets you up for. They really got a lot in that pilot where it's like, okay, I know, I get a feel for what's going on, sort of things.
It's like I like what happened, and then I see where the show's going.
Yeah.
Even though it seems like it could be formulaic, where it's like, oh, this guy escapes.
Yeah.
Fight. It could be like that, but
yeah,
I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the
Flash. With the other stories.
What the Flash did, kind of.
Yeah.
But it didn't really hammer you in. Like, it had that, but there were enough episodes where, and then there were other stuff going on. Like,
yeah.
Where it wasn't completely.
The backup stories make up for the fact of, just like the Flash, the backup stories make up for. Yeah,
that's the other thing. They're like, there's an overarching story, and then there's a episode story.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you can fill in the gaps with that other stuff, the formulaicness doesn't feel, like, overbearing.
Yeah. So yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
Next is the new show that I was talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Carbonaro Effect. Have you heard of the show?
No.
It's on True TV.
Okay.
It's a hidden camera magic show, where this guy plays magic tricks on people.
Like, they know it's happening, or they don't?
They don't know it's happening.
Okay.
And it is amazing. So he'll work in, like, a pet shop, and he's like, oh, yeah, we have this new kenneling system. And he's like, oh, is this your dog? And she's like, no. And he's like, oh, okay. Let me put it in this machine. And it's a machine that, like, literally smashes something.
Yeah.
And it comes out, and it's a dog in a disc smashed.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, let me see if I can find the right one. And he puts it in. And he's like, oh, I think this is the right one. And he puts it in the thing. And it like contracts it out, and then the dog comes out, and he's like, is this your dog? She's like, yeah, that's my dog. I thought you killed my dog.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, oh, it's simple. Like, the thing that they do at the end of every episode is like, oh, it's simple. It's
explain
it uses
it
the
happens.
Carbonaro effect.
Oh.
And she's like, have you ever heard of it? And she's like, no. And he's like, oh, it's named after a hidden game or a hidden magic show, camera magic show that you're on right now.
But they don't show how the trick's done,
no.
Do they? Okay.
Some of these tricks, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
It really makes me happy. Like, clearly a lot of it is, like, camera work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm worried because I'm, like, some of the things that he does, I'm, like, people might be dumb and believe it. Like, the people he's playing the tricks on.
Yeah.
Because he does this one
thing. They always reveal it to him, right? They don't let people go away.
I assume they have to reveal it to him. They don't say, you don't see that part.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be, like, terrified if, like, they actually went on believing that. And they're like, yeah, I do this thing. And then
they kill
somebody.
No, because they do this one thing
for real.
Where it's, like, a car service place. He brings the car in. And he's like, oh, there's a scratch on your window. And he's like, oh, just go over there. And you see the glass, you hear the glass break, and it's a broken glass, like, assuming you broke the window.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's just dealer glass. These cars nowadays have like five windows in them.
Yeah.
So you just take out the dealer glass because, you know, when they transport the car, it gets dirty and fogged up. And you just go in, roll up your window, and a new piece of glass comes up. And I'm like, I hope people don't believe this. Like,
people can start breaking windows. Yeah.
The people that he's like, yeah, your car has set it all around. You want me to replace the glasses for you? Because one guy's like, I worked so hard for this car. Like, you just broke my car. And he's like, oh, no, don't worry. It's dealer glass. He's like, you see, you take the broken glass out and you just roll it up. We'll be fine. You want me to do it for the rest of your window? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay, we'll do all five windows.
Yeah, they got to tell him at the end.
I'm like, oh, no. But it was really funny. Like, yeah. Some of the stuff.
It's pretty cool.
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it's like a marathon on today. I don't know how many episodes there are this season. But I was like, I can get into, like, I think this is, it's a fun, like, hidden camera show.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me find out how many seasons. 27 episodes in 2 seasons. Oh, it was first on TBS. No, only on True TV. But TBS promoted the new season by airing a 2-hour marathon on October 30th, 2014. So, yeah. I really like it. It's really funny. Like, one, he worked at a sports store, and he asked the guy, like, oh, we're trying to start selling memorabilia. Do you know what kind of, like, any baseball players we should get memorabilia from? And the guy's like, no, I'm more of a basketball guy. And the guy's name's Jamal. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how about any, like, old baseball players, maybe? He's like, Jackie Robinson. What was his number?
42.
He said 41 in the show, which is crazy.
42.
Jamal said. This guy who doesn't know anything about baseball.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, really? This baseball? Because the guy's just catching a baseball, like, playing catch with himself. He's like, this ball says 41. And it says Jackie Robinson. And you know what's weird? It says to Jamal. And the guy's like, he, like, throws the ball to him. He's like, I write my name weird. Like, why would anyone have this? He's like, you know what? I think it's destiny. I think you should have this ball. I'm going to go talk to my manager. And you just see him, like, reading the ball. And I'm like, this is so strange. I was like, how did they do this? Like, there has to be... I feel like it could be very easily explained.
They pick the dude or something.
Yeah.
They, like, yeah.
But something like that. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. I like it. It makes me feel like a child again.
It's just one season or...
2 seasons. Oh, 27 episodes.
Oh, two.
And, oh, I guess we should talk about video games. We played a lot of Fibbage over the weekend. Yes. I want to somehow be able to play that online with people.
Yeah, Fibbage is very fun.
Like, do a live broadcast and then play with us on Fibbage.
It's got to be a way to do that.
People, right. Apparently Jackbox has said people have been doing it with Twitch.
Yeah.
I just don't have, like, an HDMI streamer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think... Fibbage is so much fun. It's pretty much like gives you a sentence and then everyone has to write a lie using the internet. You just type it in and then everyone chooses what they think is the true answer. And if you trick people, you get points. And then if you guess the right answer, you get points.
Mm-hmm.
And we played it probably like
so much.
A dozen games. So much. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Really fun though. Cause you can see how screwed up your friends are. So yeah, that's it. Netflix recommendations. My recommendation is The Box Trolls. We saw this movie a long time ago, before it came out. And just for that reason alone, I think, it has won a place in my heart.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was such a great story and everything. And the animation style was amazing. That's it, I think. Just watch it. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on Netflix. What else are you doing with your time that's so important? Yeah. Watch The Box Trolls, watch The Carbonaro Effect, watch Silicon Valley, watch Supergirl, watch everything.
Wow.
Just watch The Jinx, mainly. Mm-hmm. And then you can be my friend. Just tweet at me. I saw The Jinx. We're friends now. I'll understand. I'll be like, okay, here's my phone number. Let's text. That's how simple, that's what I consider friendship. Unless you live in the area, then I was like, oh, let's get Starbucks or something sometime, I guess. Actually, I don't say that with my friends. When was the last time we got Starbucks?
Like, never.
No, we get Starbucks. I'm like, there's a drink at Starbucks. Starbucks. Yeah, and then we hang out.
I mean...
it's a small feature.
When I think Starbucks, I think coffee. I've gone to Starbucks and not got coffee. But
yeah, because I'm like,
you're like, they got some other drink here.
I'm like, hey, have you tried the lemonade?
It's like, okay, I'll try the lemonade here.
Let's try it.
Yeah. So my recommendation is Last Action Hero, and it's leaving Netflix soon, so check it out.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah, this weekend. So with Arnold Schwarzenegger, some little kid, I don't know.
Is this the one where he flies a jet?
No. He, basically the kid gets a magic movie ticket where he goes into a movie.
Okay.
Where Arnold Schwarzenegger's a star, and he's just like a big action star. And the kid's trying to explain to him how this is all fake, because like,
yeah,
all the crazy stuff that happens, and it, like, in action
makes fun
movies.
Of like all his movies, right?
Makes fun of all his movies. And then he said, okay, let's go to a, like, he's trying to prove that he's an actor. And he's like, okay, let's go to a video store. So he goes to a video store and he sees like Terminator and whatever. And it's like, it's starring Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he's great in these movies. And then, yeah, it's basically him in an action movie. And then they go back into the real world and stuff happens. But
I was thinking of True Lies, where he flies a jet. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, so this is a, like, I didn't even find out about this movie for a long time, but I actually like it.
It's like perfect for someone like us.
Yeah.
Who are like into movies.
Yeah, so it's pretty funny. And yeah, check it out. It's only on Netflix for a few days, so check it out for a few days.
And then watch Box Trolls.
And then watch Box Trolls, which you have more time to watch.
Yeah. And that's it. Oh, today on Netflix, Hot Girls Wanted from 2015, which I don't know what that is, and Mako Mermaid Season 3 from 2013. I don't recommend you watch any of those. Watch Box Trolls and Last Action Hero. Then watch The Jinx and watch Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley. Actually, watch Silicon Valley, then The Carbonaro Effect, then Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones is kind of long.
Yeah.
And you should try to diversify your investments.
Yeah, switch it up. Don't go too
in every
heavy.
Aspect of life.
Yeah, you gotta lighten stuff up. Don't go too heavy.
Always
too
diversify.
Much. Yeah.
If people are like, hey, you want super solid, say a little bit of both.
Oh, half and a half.
Try and diversify. Mm-hmm. People are like, hey, you want cream or milk in your coffee, say half and half. It's already a thing.
It already exists.
Diversify. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We know you can spend a lot of time with their podcast, and we're glad you chose ours.
Yeah.
Like an airline. What do they say? They're like, we know you have many choices in podcasts, and we're glad you chose Destiny Pizzas. Yes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Until next week, a.k.a. Monday, June 1st. What day would it be? What day is Monday?
Yes, that sounds right. Yeah, June 1st.
Yeah, June 1st.
Yes.
Wake up.
And Netflix will have a bunch of stuff on that Monday, too.
Yeah.
And a bunch of stuff will leave.
Yeah, so first of the month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Pizzas. Until next week, grab a slice and enjoy. Goodbye.